Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest Nerdatorium podcast. You are coming to us now. We're coming to you live from Austin, Texas. No, I'm just going to keep rolling. Fuck it. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to you from Austin, Texas. To recap the last week, we moved from San Diego to Austin. We drove, actually Ben Hoffman, Head Ninja, drove for 22 hours straight. Over the last week, we've been setting up our technology and design incubator. We've gotten a lot done, and we're going to tell you all about it and talk about Austin, talk about our plans here. And joining us today, we have Ben, Head Ninja.
Say hello. Oh, yeah. I'm here.
We've also got Wade Ober. Is it Ober?
Yes.
And Wade, can you tell us a little bit about what you do here in Austin?
I run a podcast called Beyond Sixth with three of my friends. We talk about local events. We interview local artists, musicians, photographers, bloggers. Anybody that's important to the downtown scene in Austin and cultivating what we consider to be the heart of Austin's art community. That's why I was excited to get in here with these Nerdatorium guys. They are absolutely inspired when it comes to collaborative work on various projects and various media and trying to do what they love while also making it profitable. So,
oh, shucks, man. You're going to make me blush.
Yeah, so that's why I'm excited to be here working with these guys, get them introduced to Austin and connected in the right ways with the right people.
Yeah, it's been really neat. When I first came out here, I actually stayed with Wade. That was just, a couple weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. Checking it out, making sure this is a good fit. And the reason that we actually came here in the first place was because of Ben. And the reason Ben came here was because of South by Southwest.
And, well, because Wade and one of my other friends, Evan, from high school, lived here. And so it was a good chance to kind of come and explore the city a couple years ago.
Yeah, I've known Ben for 8 years. He was one of my friends. He's a friend of a friend from college. My old college roommate Mark went to high school with Ben. So that was that connection. You know, do the whole Kevin Bacon game.
I don't think anyone here knows Kevin Bacon though. So
anything they do, they saw X-Men First Class.
Well, that's fair. So outside of those people, all right, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is a well-known game. But outside of all that. So in our time here in Austin, we're hoping to do a couple of things. Our primary focus here is to launch 5 projects at South by Southwest. We'll be launching basically the awareness of the Nerdatorium in general as an alternative sort of tribal incubator. We're going to be launching 2 software projects. One of them is called Nerdly. The other one is called List Kicker. They're both really interesting. We're sort of heads down on those right now. We're also launching a hybrid hardware software project called Easy Time Lapse. And another top secret project, which we'll talk about at a later date.
Movie?
Oh, yeah, that's not top secret, is it?
No.
Sorry, yeah, it's. So, People in Motion is the 5th project. I'm going to make a confession. I totally blanked. And instead of confessing that I blanked, I tried to like make it all suave. But then Ben called me out because that's what friends do. They call each other out.
Well, specifically, I wouldn't normally call you out, but it's like been the focus of your life for like like almost 9 months now.
It's very fair. So yeah, I occasionally blank and try to cover it up, and Ben helps me remember. So thank you, Ben, for your very unusual style of helping me remember.
Yeah, I'm kind of a dick sometimes.
your informational thrusting is helpful. Yeah. So yes, we're also launching a movie, People in Motion at South by Southwest. I think Wade's holding on a laugh.
Informational thrusting.
Do you like that?
I'm constantly in 8th grade, so okay, if you see something like informational thrusting, I'm going to be like...
It was the best I could do for, you know, a semi-clever dick and fart joke. Mm. That's as good as I can get them. But anyway, so 5 projects. We've been working tirelessly for the last couple months, couple being like the last year, really. And we're really excited to see the reception. The feedback has been really positive so far on all the fronts. Everybody who's seen the Nerdatorium up close gets it. When we tried to explain it to some people in the outside world, we have interesting reactions. Ben went out to a bar the other day to a tech mixer, and he can tell you all about his experience.
I met a very lovely young recruiter, I believe. She worked basically in placement for a tech firm. And she had a tech background, so she used to be a developer as well. And like we, you know, started talking. We're having a really good time just talking about kind of entrepreneurship in general. And so I got into the idea of the Nerdatorium. And she just like could not understand why anyone would want to do it. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And like, I tried to like really communicate the idea for about half an hour, and finally it just got awkward.
But you know, it's, you got to wonder, you know, if she's a recruiter, all the tools that she's normally equipped with are not entrepreneurial, right? It's like, here's the benefits package, here's the paycheck, here's the salary.
Well, sure, for placing people with companies. She also had a side business, I guess, that she either had run or is running. Didn't get into too much detail on it. But it was basically just the notion, the real hang-up for her was, if you're already a capable, brilliant person and you have a social network that can help you pull together a team to work with, like, why don't you just do that, right? And I think that's, obviously a good thing to do if you have those things.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But it's not really what we're trying to do. You know, we're not trying to do the startup, go to an IPO sort of traditional model. We're trying to build a longer term social relationship with people we work with, and it's
The way that I've been describing it recently is tribal entrepreneurship. If you think about what you really want in life, and this is a scary thing, because if you ask most people, "What do you really want?" Most people have no fucking idea. Like, if you really say, what does your perfect day look like? They look at you with this blank face. They're like, what do you mean? It's like, well, from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, what is the perfect day? And most people have no idea, because they're just going through the drudgery, saving money for stuff, or, paying back debt that they've accumulated. And they don't really stop to think what they really want and what they really love in life. And for Ben and I, we're in this sort of unusual position where we have the resources to stop and ask, what do we really want? And the answer, as far as we've come up with, is we want to come up with disruptive technologies and bring these into fruition with people we really admire and respect and really have one hell of a ride doing it. Basically, we want to adventure with people we adore all the time. And so that's what we're really trying to do, is just building a tribe of capable people that we have a really good, genuine connection with and collaborating on projects that we deeply believe in.
Yeah, and that's very evident in what I've observed over the past few days being here and helping out when I can. A lot of things get described as very Austin, in Austin. It's about, like food trailers or the way online communities came together to donate and drive food and water down to the wildfire victims. The way online communities came together to help people find their pets that were lost in the fires and place things back in homes. The community feel of the Nerdatorium seems very Austin to me in that respect. Seems like a very nurturing environment for both work and play.
Yeah, I hope so. And that's, I think we kind of get that notion that Austin's a really cool cultural fit for what we want to do. And then also just the food trucks.
Yeah.
Like that's definitely a very awesome thing. And you said basically referred to them as a trailer park.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? And then you're talking about, and they have these amazing like red velvet cake milkshakes. And I'm like, trailer park with milk? What the fuck? And then once you explain, it's like, oh no, it's actually just all these amazing gourmet food carts sitting in close proximity. It made a lot of sense, but total random tangent.
Actually, can we keep going down this tangent? I gotta say, Austin, for everybody who's listening, in Austin, you have an amazing city. This place is phenomenal. The people are not only interested in things, they're also really interesting. They're super friendly. The Southern hospitality, hats off to you guys. This is the friendliest city, with the one exception of the car guy who jumped out and was ready to throw down. Besides that guy, this is like the friendliest city I have ever encountered.
And when Cedric was here just checking out houses, I took him to Tuesdays at Barbarella, which, if you don't know what that is, you are fucking missing out. But we had, in the first hour we were there, before it was even full, we had two different groups of girls come up and talk to us, a couple dudes.
I think they were talking to you, Wade. I think all of them are interested.
That never happens when I'm by myself. Never happens when I'm by myself, so I think it's maybe just the double team.
Oh yeah, Knuckles.
Bam.
You have you have Wonder Twin powers.
Yeah.
Form of wingman.
But so for those who are not in Austin currently, and if you've never been to Austin, really, get your ass down here. A friend came from Seattle just last weekend. He actually this past weekend, just a couple days ago, and he had never been to Austin before. He works for Boeing. and he lives in Seattle, and he hates Seattle. Seattle, for young, single, smart people, is a horrific city. Austin, for anyone, is an amazing city. So I don't care. So all my homies in Seattle, I know you got some amazing coffee. I know that you got some amazing art and some amazing music. But God damn it, Austin has just as much or more of all that. And the cost of living is lower. And the tech scene is blossoming. Really, get your asses down here. This is an amazing place. All right, I'm done ranting.
Get your ass to Mars.
Get to the chopper.
The chopper.
Clay.
It's not a tumor.
I turn on the reactor.
You know you're lying. How's it turned against you? Okay, enough Schwarzenegger. I'm the president of California.
We apologize for the viewers at home. We occasionally go on Arnold rants.
So I think, you know, just to refine your rant there, Seattle has a lot of good things. Specifically, if you are, even if you're young, you know, if you're settled down, Seattle's a really good place. If you're settled down and make a lot of money, Seattle's a really good place. If you're still, you know, single, or if you're just looking for some more diversity in terms of people.
What Ben's saying is if you have a heartbeat, you want to move out of Seattle.
Yeah, but I mean, if you are a Twilight vampire, then it's a good place to be, right? Because it's the sun thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you come down to Austin during the summer, it's 100 degrees and sunny for 3 months in a row, your sparkly ass ain't coming outdoors.
Although you'll blend in because it'll just look like sweat.
Yeah, right, or if you go to the bright gay bars, it just look like you got glitter on you.
All right, so Wade, you've lived in Austin for how long now?
I've lived in Austin for 3.5 years. I moved down here for graduate school, which I did not complete because it was a fresh piece of hell. I've just stayed. I love the city so much. There's so much to do, so much to talk about, and so much inspiration to work with.
All right, so say somebody's in Austin for 3 days only, right? 3 days. Best place to eat, best place for live music, and then one random adventure.
Oh, God. Live music, it's a toss-up. It's just what you want to see. Talk to somebody you know here, somebody that can give you a recommendation, somebody that has taste you trust. Definitely be something downtown, Red River and 7th area. Either go to Emo's Inside, which you only have until December 30th to do because the owner sold out. And it's a crushing blow to the soul of Austin's art and music community. But also, on the two bars that aren't going away that are really great for music are the Mohawk and Red 7, among many others. But those are most consistent shows every, at least 3 or 4 nights a week, they have music. Either inside or outside, good drink prices, great staff, and usually a great lineup.
Cool. And then for food, where's that the barbecue place you took me to? There was no line. The food was amazing.
I took him to Rudy's Barbecue, the South one. I love Rudy's. There's Ironworks, and there's a lot of great barbecue places in town. But if I had to take somebody one place and they like barbecue, I take them to Rudy's because the portions are great, and I just love the taste for some reason.
Yeah, it's pretty goddamn fantastic. Rudy's, you know what's up. Thank you for that amazing barbecue experience. And then one random mini-adventure in Austin?
One random mini-adventure. I would say there are two things. There are two things you can do depending on your level of adventure. You could go get a mountain bike and bike around the Greenbelt, which is absolutely amazing. It's actually in town. Very wooded area, just rocks and trees and rivers and just bike as long as you want, wherever you want. There are trails everywhere. If you're a little more adventurous, go out to Lake Travis on the outside of town, and they have zip lines over the entire lake. Ooh. So you can do that. I'm not that adventurous. I'm scared of heights, and I don't want to rain shit on people on the lake. So, yeah, those are two great random adventures. I myself am not one for running or biking because I'm a clumsy bastard, but I went walking along the Greenbelt while my friends were running and biking. So
no, it sounds like a proper. I think I might do both of those things, and hopefully without the whole shitting on people.
Yeah, so
I'm afraid of heights, but I do want to shun people.
There you go.
So it sounds like I'll do that too.
Okay. Yeah.
So for the listeners at home, there's no camera here. I don't know why I said viewers. So for the listeners at home, one of the things that we experienced right away is a thriving entrepreneurial scene here. It's interesting in that. Our first, I think, 24 hours, we were invited to sit in as investors, as potential angel investors, to some pitches coming out of one of the local schools. Do you remember was it University of Austin?
Austin Community College?
No, it was UTA.
UT?
Oh, yeah.
is, you know,
University of Texas at Austin.
And, you know, one of the very first presentations we saw was really impressive. They were talking about the use of genetic algorithms and making stock picks. Ben was really into that.
Yeah, I got to actually reach out to them and try to talk to them a little more about it. But
if you're listening, whoever made that pitch, we're very interested in potentially investing.
Oh, no, I have a business card. I just have been too busy to actually, like, sit down and write a proper email.
Which is very fair.
But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those ideas where you have a good idea. You're like, I should do that. And then 5 years later, someone else does it. And you're like, fuck yeah, that's a good idea. And I remember the first time that happened to me, I was 6 years old. So obviously it wasn't like 5 years later because I didn't have good ideas when I was one. But I was like a huge Ghostbusters fan. And I was a Ghostbuster for Halloween like 4 years in a row or something. And I thought, like, I just want a light up like ghost trap so badly. I should make that. And then like the next season they came out, I'm like, oh, those bastards, they stole my idea. Because obviously they, you know, had some sort of psychic, like, prying apart the thoughts of a six-year-old that, I mean, they do, that's, I guess that's focus groups and shit, but
that's the same way I feel about Fleshlight. I thought of that when I was 16.
I really do feel the Fleshlight, like, no offense to Fleshlight, we think you guys make a very interesting product, you know, we think that men also need sex toys, but make something a little more minimalist. I mean, you've got this huge bulky thing. It looks like some sort of like large RPG. Make something a little more discreet, you know? Like, make something that you could easily like put in the back pocket or something that you can like hear about in
training. So what he's talking about is just the tip. He just wants he don't want the whole full thing. He just wants the tip.
I want the whole thing.
Specifically what Cedric is saying is this artificial vagina is way too large for my penis.
that's precisely what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm hung like a pinky nail, apparently. So now that we've got that out of the way, Wade was actually curious about some of the things we do at the Nerdatorium. We wanted to have a little bit of the sort of informal back and forth sort of interview style where we could just kind of, you know, let him pick our brains about random things. So now that we've talked about my pinky nail sized penis, I think this is as good a time as any to jump in.
So basically, I just want to go into a little history so people know where you're coming from. When did you guys first meet?
Oh, man. I met Ben Hoffman in the back of a SUV on the way.
That sounds so fucking dirty.
We're already talking about penis size and pinky nails. you know what I'm saying. Anyway,
we need some sort of like...
We're
like
going snowboarding.
Snowboarding. Palate cleanser.
All right. So, we're going snowboarding with a bunch of friends. And Ben and I didn't know each other, but we had a couple of mutual friends. And we're going snowboarding. And it's kind of boring, you know, it's like a 2-hour drive. And Ben proceeds to tell us the funniest story I've ever heard. And I didn't tell anybody at the time, but I think I may have slightly shat myself when he told it. To this day, it is the funniest story I've ever heard.
That was, of course, before going up on the mountain. So.
Yes.
Deal with that all day.
Which wasn't too bad. Anyway. So Ben tells me this hilarious story. We have a day of snowboarding. Afterwards, we have a pretty good time, just drinking and, you know, being rowdy, yada, yada. And some time passes. You know, I held Ben in high regard, but we never really talked. And then one day, about like a year later,
Ben... Yeah, I think it was over a year, actually.
Ben is Ben's leaving Microsoft. He's had enough. And he starts looking up people's Facebook profiles, specifically mine. And he...
I wasn't even trying to. I just went on Facebook. And it's, you know, it was right after the feed thing had come into existence, and when they still had this weird sort of like space you could put text in on the side of your profile that they got rid of that like a month later. But I, for some reason, clicked on something on Cedric's profile, and it had on the sidebar his top 5 goals for 2010, and one of them was retire. And so I was just like, sent him a message saying, hey, I'm about to quit my job. How do you want to do that retiring thing? And that's basically it.
So when did you guys sit down to hash out your philosophy for the Nerdatorium that you expounded upon earlier?
Well, the Nerdatorium was interesting. So we both left Microsoft at different times. Ben went off, and he did really well. And then I left about a year later, and I was very fortunate to also do well. And we looked at where we were in life, and we looked at, you know, our position, which was really unusual at the time, and that for the first time ever, we could actually stop and think about whatever the hell we wanted to do. And, you know, Ben had some ideas, and I had some ideas, and we just started hanging out and collaborating on little tiny projects. And I'm not exactly sure where exactly the Nerdatorium idea came from, is probably from the nether regions of Ben's brain.
No, it was definitely your idea.
It kind of grew organically out of your partnership?
I think so. How did it come about, Ben? I don't remember.
We were kind of throwing around a bunch of ideas, and I think, you know, we realized we had way too many ideas. Like, because we started pursuing a couple, and then we had, like, 20 others that we really liked. And Cedric said, hey, you know, if we just had, like, an army of nerds to, like, build this out, it'd be awesome. And
no brain slugs were available just to slap on people, you decided to go out and actually...
Well, here's the thing. This is going to sound a little spooky. And, you know, I totally understand if not everybody comes along this ride with me. But I'm a big believer that people have the capacity to be conduits. Where distant and unknowable ideas come from sort of this distant and unknowable place, and they sort of manifest in us to do things that are sort of beyond what we would normally come to. You see this in Nobel Prize winning mathematicians and artists and all sorts of other people, and by no means am I, you know, claiming that we are geniuses, although I think Ben might legitimately be one. He's shaking his head no, but I think he really is. So beyond this, for some reason, you know, Ben and I collect a lot of ideas very quickly, whether we come up with them or people tell us about them. For some reason, every week we have no less than 20 really solid ideas that we feel very confident about, that they can be commercially successful, can make people's lives easier. But the problem is we really have no way of making these ideas real on our own. You know, we can only do so much from the neck down, but from the neck up, we can do a lot. And so we figured, you know, the dream would be to basically have the bat phone, right? Mm-hmm. We pick up the bat phone, and, you know, one of the nerd generals is on the other line, just at the ready. You're like, I've got this idea.
Coincidentally, he's dressed as Batman.
Why?
I don't remember Batman wearing assless chaps. I really don't.
Hey, a guy can dream, can he? Anyway. So the idea is we wanted to be able to just go from idea to market within 3 months. That was the dream scenario. And so we're like, well, how do we do that? And we thought about different organizational structures. What we liked, what we didn't like, and we came up with this really simple idea where we build a tribe of people that are really dedicated and committed to what they're doing because they enjoy it, where all of life's normal burdens are completely removed and they're able to just focus in a very healthy, sustainable way on projects, specifically projects that can help them retire and be in a financial position where they are free to do what they love instead of doing what they think they have to do.
And so, to be clear, not retire in like a Bill Gates, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want because I have billions of dollars, just, you know, enough to live on and where you don't have to. Basically, the mission ended up being we want to help as many awesome people as possible quit their day jobs and effectively live a freer life. Because, I mean, fuck it, why not?
Yeah. And that goal is the trade-off for focusing your creative energy through people. Very well, and while utilizing their own creative energy. You're talking about you had to, you know, sometimes 20 ideas a week, you kind of overwhelmed yourselves. So in order to put those ideas to better use, you put them through the Nerdatorium as sort of a conduit for dispersing that information, getting it out there as widely as possible to the people that you found and trust.
Well, we just wanted to do justice to the ideas, right? We have these quality ideas, and there's no point in having these ideas if you don't do anything with them. Right, so whenever we sit down and talk to somebody and have an idea, the question is always, okay, well, how do we do this? How do we make this real? Because, you know, ideas are essentially worthless. Ben's got a great quote, you know, it's, we have so many ideas, they're no longer valuable, it's all about execution. And so right now what we're focusing on is creating a really great foundation for very rapid, high-quality execution, going from idea to market in a way that you end up with functional, intuitive, and elegant products that make people's lives nicer. And if we can do that, I think we'll be a success.
Excellent. So how many cities have you guys been in now?
This is our third city.
Excellent.
We've done some incubating in Seattle. We've done some incubating in San Diego. And this will be our third city, but we'll be launching most of our projects that we've been incubating here in Austin.
Excellent.
Yeah, we've basically the first kind of two cities were a refinement of the sort of process and the framework of the Nerdatorium, and this is sort of the first full-scale, like, really...
Test run.
Fully built out test run to see if it, you know, how well it actually works in the real world.
Excellent. Well, here's to hoping it's your most functional and productive run.
Hoorah. Yeah, they've all been interesting. You know, everything we've done so far has been an adventure. And that's the right word for it. This project, which Ben called that earlier, that's been the focus of my life the last 9 months, People in Motion, a.k.a. the secret project, right? It's been nothing short of an adventure. We've gone to Burning Man. We've traveled all the way up to Seattle and then back down to Mexico. We've gone everywhere on the West Coast. And it's been a life-changing experience. It's been amazing, right? And even if nothing was to come of it, our lives are forever changed. And all the people that we've interacted with have told us that their lives are forever changed by this experience. And so if nothing else, I think that that project and the Nerdatorium has been a success just in its ability to fundamentally shift people's views on what's possible.
Yeah. And from a personal perspective, right, after about, you know, 9 months or a year of not being employed, it's such a dramatically different mindset that you get. Like, I don't even remember really what it's like to have a proper job. And I don't think I ever go back to doing it.
Yeah. No, to be honest, that's the one scary thing. You know, Ben and I talk occasionally, like, what would happen? Like, worst case scenario, you know, what would happen if we had to go back and get jobs? And I told Ben, like, straight up, I'd rather kill myself than go back to working. Once you get a taste of freedom, at least the freedom that we've experienced, you can't go back. Like, once you can travel and go wherever you want and spend the time with the people that you really care about and just avoid the shitheads, you know? Like, once you taste that, you just can't go back.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about Austin. Moving here and then trying to go back to Ohio to visit. So you guys have found yourself in a place within a place that facilitates that feeling.
But I think the key thing for people to keep in mind is that, you know, like, while Ben is smarter than the average person, I am not, right? And I think that the key thing for most people is that as long as they are tenacious and they have a clear view of what they want to do and why, people can do just about anything. But for some reason, people seem to have this fear that they won't succeed, and that seems to really inhibit them. Most of the people we interact with are dramatically smarter than I am, but you see them like start to stall out simply because of fear or a lack of tenacity. They run into some sort of roadblock and they just give up. Like, just all the gas is just let out of them. Whereas if they were just able to just not quit and just keep going and like maybe be a little bit unrealistic with their expectations, you know, just keep pushing forward, they would be a success. Yeah, so if anybody's out there and interested in, like the one nugget is just be a tenacious motherfucker and just do not relent.
That's excellent. It's excellent advice for, you know, people that are looking to find their place in today's technology and entrepreneurship market. If you're graduating college with a decent degree and you have, you know, some gumption and no really hard roots tying you down, you should definitely take advantage of what you can.
Yeah, well, this is a really interesting time in that, you know, the economy is sort of shit. And and there are a lot of rock stars out there, you know, both professional rock stars who are without jobs and student rock stars who, you know, should be professionals, but they can't get solid jobs simply because the economy sucks. And this is an amazing opportunity for other people to start their own little versions of Nerdatoriums, basically to start tribal entrepreneurship tribes. I don't know exactly what you'd call it, but... you know, if you can just afford house payments for 3 to 6 months, right, and you're able to have a really scoped idea of a project, there's no reason that you can't collect a bunch of friends, just minimize your expenses, and start trying to crank out simple projects.
Yeah, and I mean, the kicker is that it's actually, for certain people, like in technology specifically, it's actually still a pretty hot job market, where if you want to be employed and you're like capable CS graduate, like there's a lot of jobs out there, but you know, at the same time, is that really, like you said, if you are unencumbered for the most part, why jump into that right now if you can just take a quick break and try to do something else? But it's not even just for, you know, we focus a lot on the tech projects we do, but we call ourselves an art and technology incubator because it's not just about websites, right? It's about basically solving problems for people. And that's what people don't realize is you solve problems for yourself all the time in your life because everybody has problems. And if you can do that and just figure out how to do it for other people, then that's when they pay you.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just a it's not about being techie. It's not about getting into that sort of traditional tech startup mindset. It's just about getting into the mindset of starting something and driving, you know, taking it all the way without relenting at the first sign of failure.
Hoorah! So.
Excellent, excellent way to sum up. But thank you guys for having me in.
Yeah, man. No, it's our pleasure. And thank you to our listeners at home. If you have any questions, comments, etc., please look us up on thenerdatorium.com. Send us ideas for podcasts. Tell us to go to hell. Tell us you love us. Whatever the case may be, we're here. We're very apt to whatever you have to say. And we will be back in a few days with our next podcast talking about who knows what. You have to tune in to find out.
I'm gonna vote birds.
The angry variety or just...
Nope, just birds. Just feathered things.
Is that coming off of the idea of ziplining and shitting on people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that, good night and good luck.